go. Crack them open.
Y'all are killing me.
Don't worry. Mine is just an Arizona green tea with ginseng and, and honey. That's all mine is.
Delicious. The classic.
It is. It's so good. I've just been kind of addicted to it for the last month or two. I never buy a 12 pack of anything, right? Like, I don't drink soda or anything like that. I actually literally bought a 12 can pack of Arizona green tea with ginseng.
12 of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
That brings me back to judo class.
Oh, good.
That was always. They didn't have Gatorade at that particular school. What they had was Arizona tea.
That brings me back to high school, just like as the drink. We would go to 7-Eleven to get and then go do theater. And that was my
high school drink was Josta, and literally nobody's ever heard of it.
I have not heard
of it. Yeah, it was
Josta.
Yeah, it was flavored with guarana. It was
guarana.
Very weird.
Guarana.
I don't know how you say it. I just know that they stopped making it in like 2001. That was my 9/11, really, when Josta stopped being made.
I remember in my middle school we had RC Cola vending machines, and then when I graduated to high school, everybody got up in arms about selling kids soda, so they thought instead what they could sell us was Powerade, which is just soda without the bubbles.
Yeah!
Still high sugar content.
We had a vending machine, and that's literally where I got addicted to moon pies, is that my my high school had a vending machine for...
Yeah. The origin story.
For moon pies and Yoo-Hoo.
Wow.
So that was literally my lunch. So many days.
Your high school rules.
Of my senior year of high school was literally, I have a dollar, I can get a double decker moon pie and a Yoo-Hoo. That's my lunch.
That's beautiful.
I turned out very healthy.
I'm looking at this Josta label for this soda with guarana, because it's actually promoted on the label.
Yeah, it is.
That's a 90 as fuck looking label.
Isn't it? It's so 90s. And like, I've literally never been able to find anyone online in all of my time of being online of anybody else that's ever heard of it or drank it other than me and like the people in the area I grew up with. And I know it wasn't a regional thing because I believe it was made by one of the bigger... Yeah, it was made by Pepsi. So it's not like a regional thing.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I can tell you I never had one.
Mm.
It's advertising poster for Josta appears in the 1998 Godzilla.
Good Lord. We got... Jeez. Dude, like two years ago, we got Doritos 3D back. Right? It happened. I keep praying that, like, at some point... Like, the funny thing about, like Doritos 3D happening is we were literally in the middle of a podcast when it happened. We were literally in the middle of a Sox cast, and Rhett was, like, looking around online, and he was like, yo, they're bringing those back in, like, a month. And I was like, what?
This is fascinating,
you know,
though.
Like, you can't just spring this on me.
There was a campaign, a Save Josta campaign, launched by fans of the drink.
Yep.
So the SaveJosta.org, it was defunct for several years, but was reactivated in 2011. Pepsi, Ireland-based company, Portfolio Concentrate Solutions, a limited company, has registered Josta as a soda and beer trademark in the U.S. as of March 2023. No logo is yet shown. This might happen.
I keep thinking that like this is like my victory lap and I'm gonna die soon. Where like we got Doritos 3D back, like Josta might happen, and then like a couple of weeks ago, I Walmart started selling these amazing chicken tenders that I used to buy back in 2005 or 2006. Just like I always kept them stocked. They're like the best breaded chicken tenders that I'd ever had. Like, you just throw them in the oven, you cook them. Like, they're still raw chicken. So it's not just like, you know, pre-cooked chicken that you're heating up. It was actually chicken you had to cook. But like, most amazing chicken tenders I ever had in my life, and then they disappeared. So now I found those again. Like, they started selling those again. So I started getting those. So it's just like, if Josta happens, is that like the final sign that I'm dying soon? Like, is this like my victory lap?
I hope not.
I would hope not as well. I would hope not as well.
Some things just make a comeback, you know?
Sometimes. Like, you know, I got my fill of Doritos 3Ds, and then they went away again.
They'll take them out of the vault again, though.
I'm sure. Like, they did really well when they were on the market again, so...
Yeah, they were tasty.
I always grabbed
them every time I saw them.
They're so good. Like I don't pay over $4 for a bag of chips, but if I saw Doritos 3D, I'm paying over $4 for a bag of chips. I can't even buy Funyuns right now because they want $5.25 for them shits.
Jeez.
Are you kidding me? $5.25 for a bag that is 50% air? Eat my ass! Welcome! This is a much later introduction to We Like Bad Music Only than before, but you're also joining us for a discussion of 90s snacks and colas that we like to drink. How you doing, everybody? We are here, of course, for a very special episode of We Like Bad Music Only. We are doing this whole new thing again. It's our show and tell gimmick where somebody presents an album with a theme, then we listen to it, and then we review it on the next episode. So I do believe the last time we were together, it was Psychic Heist who brought something to the table for us all to listen to, and it was met with results.
It was met with the reaction that I was curious to see and satisfied with, yes.
Right.
An interesting detour.
It was... definitely like one of those, like, I kind of expect this is going to go a certain way for a certain somebody. I could, if I had to have like bet my life on any one person's reactions, I would have bet my life on all of Garden's, reactions throughout that album.
What was your first clue? Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
I mean, singer-songwriter stuff can be hit or miss sometimes. That said, I've got to get to the new Beth Gibbons album. I've still not given that a listen yet.
It's not bad. I need to kind of delve on it, too. It's something that's washed over me more than really set in. Mm. So that's the phase I'm in right now. Mm. Other things are kind of grabbing my attention a little bit more, but I just maybe need to find the right mood.
I've just kind of been in most of, more of a Steve Albini mood because, I mean, for obvious unfortunate reasons.
Still shocked.
Basically, you would say the reason that I am an audio engineer. So yeah, that one stung quite a bit. So I've just been listening to a lot of Big Black, Rape Man, and Shellac. Yeah, I listen to everything, warts and all. You know, you take warts and all, because he was a man that was warts and all, and very he owned that shit.
Certainly.
Yeah, like he was one of those mature people that was, he would never, you know, like he was never that guy that was, it was okay at the time. He was the guy that was, no, it wasn't okay at the time, and I was a fucking idiot. I don't regret it, but I was a fucking idiot.
I've mildly lost my mind because I've been buying up all the shit I didn't have on vinyl. Mm-hmm. Some of that shellac stuff is expensive, y'all.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because of Enlightenment? Well, it had to be. There has to be some.
I mean, that
some of that shellac stuff was printed in super small
it was
quantities.
Really small quantities, and it never got repressed. Sense, like
the Big Black stuff has had some fairly recent reissues on Touch and Go Records, but some of the shellac stuff is fucking.
I have to imagine that shellac stuff is going to come back into print. I think those records are very important, I think, for a lot of reasons.
Just like when I bought Symbolic by Death.
Yeah.
I bought it when it was still expensive, and then they reissued it a year later.
Yep. At least you didn't have to resort to buying, you know, Traced in Air on, you know, that shitty remaster they did, because you can't find a decent copy of the original pressing, which sounded way better.
Trayston Air.
Cynic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that got a remix a few years ago, and it's pretty shitty. It's real bad, but it's just like, but also I want it on vinyl, but also I'm not paying $300 for an original pressing either. So
I seem to recall you were looking for Jim Croce vinyls.
Yeah, I was looking for those too. Yeah, a couple. I ended up getting a couple of those. So
funny thing is that my great aunt probably has all of those from back in the day. My little brother appropriated a Dark Side of the Moon copy from that particular collection. Ooh. He got to listen to it on a $60,000 turntable. Through a Bose Sound Sport.
Oh.
Damn.
And my immediate response was, bro,
what was the fucking point?
And I'm like, the most important part of the equation was just a fucking Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. Oh. This is our podcast that is very focused. We've pivoted from our Funko Popcast. I don't think we ever thought that was going to work out.
Well, I thought we covered it. I thought we said what we had to say. We beat Funko Pops.
And yeah,
now we're growing as people and moving on to.
Yeah,
snacks.
We all agreed that my collection of the Outer Senshi is the only Funko Pops you need.
This is the show where the theme this time around is an album that might just be kind of out of left field for you to suggest, or something that we would be surprised that you would be into. And then we spend an episode kind of getting into the history of it a little bit and getting some kind of predictions. And then the next time we're together, we will have listened to the album and we'll do our full review shtick. I do believe at the end of the last episode that our good pal Psychic Heist threw those duties, the duty to show, right on over to Garden. So I do believe we need to make like Insane Clown Posse and have thy unveiling.
Oh boy, I struggled.
You struggled? Yeah.
Well, because I had... The theme is curious to me because I think to myself and my musical taste, well, okay, what would surprise people that I like?
Mm-hmm.
That I like it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like I'm fairly open about my musical taste.
Yeah. I've never known you to like, I don't know that among us there's anybody that's like a guilty pleasure kind of person, because I think that phrase is stupid and I always hated it. Like, you like what you like. I just think it's more of just like, what would I think that would be interesting? Like, if you said to me, I like this, and I would go, uh-huh.
So I started whittling stuff down. And some of the stuff I talked about, like, when I knew, like, because I started thinking for my turn before I knew it was going to be my turn next.
I think, yeah, like, I obviously was, like, thinking from day one, what would my choice be since I have to do this too, so...
So I'll go through some of the stuff I ruled out.
Mm-hmm.
I decided we're not going to go with the Globe Sessions by Sheryl Crow, which probably would have been the most shocking thing because I am infamously the country music hater.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was thinking of other stuff and I'm like, well, I listen to a lot more hip hop now than I ever used to. So nobody's going to be shocked if I say, let's listen to 36 Chambers or some shit.
Right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I decided what it was going to be was pop music.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
And here's where shit got difficult. As in, I was literally pondering my two prominent choices in the lead up to this call while I was choking down some shitty pizza my sister didn't eat. And I thought to myself, okay, one option is they're both distinctly my parents' music. I'll spoil it that way.
Okay.
Like, this was the kind of shit I would listen to in the car when I was growing up. So option one was the option I'm deciding not to go with because it is runtime issues.
Mm.
It's a double album length thing. And as much as I love Sir Elton John, and as much as I seriously considered Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yep. 1 hour, 17 minutes long. And I'm like, I don't know if that works for this format so much.
Yeah, that can be a little much.
But yeah, so I was raised on that kind of a thing in part. And mm-hmm. I got to see him on his final tour.
Oh, so jealous.
And still great.
Absolutely. Still great. I don't doubt at all, man.
He's one of those guys, you know, there's certain people who should be ashamed of themselves, Vince Neil.
Oh my God. How? Why is he still going? And why are people still paying him to go?
I don't know. I've done it, and I asked myself that same question. The answer in that case was the strength of the rest of the bill, which was Joan Jett, Def Leppard, and Poison.
Yeah, like
who,
those.
Guess what? All still have it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's fucking Vince Neil, though. He sounds like he's trying to sing that. He sounds worse than Axl Rose, and Axl Rose sounds pretty bad these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but the other one, distinctly my parents' music, and in this case, distinctly some of my mother's music, I thought, well, I talked all kinds of shit about Mandy Moore, and I've talked all kinds of shit about other people in the past, mm-hmm. so why don't I go on the female vocal pop route?
All right.
And so I thought, you know what? This is going to be kind of tacky because I'm going to come in and say, why don't we just talk about one of the greatest albums of all time for shits and giggles? Because we're listening to Tapestry by Carole King.
Yes! All right.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, you know what? You need those. Sometimes you need to sit down. Like, look, you may already know what you're getting next episode, but it's still going to be great. Sometimes you just want to sit down and talk about a real damn good album.
Yeah. So I thought, yeah, we're doing it. It's a neat and tidy 44 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if somehow somebody out there doesn't know who Carole fucking King is.
I'm not super familiar with Carole King, so.
Let's have the rundown for PH.
So, Carole King is a somewhat legendary singer-songwriter. Has been around for a million goddamn years.
Yeah.
Got her start in the late 50s. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was sort of a songwriter for hire / session piano player, kind of in the days of the Music Factory arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
But came to prominence with this album, which dropped on February 10th of 1971. It is one of the best-selling albums of all time. It's 14 times platinum back when that, I will say, dubiously meant something because it's pre-SoundScan era, but it's also pre-streaming era because I don't buy any of those numbers anymore.
Those numbers are just what? You will hear this album and you will like, oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that song. Guarantee you that is going to happen so many times if you are not familiar with this album.
Yeah. I mean, it contains, this particular album contains her two overwhelmingly biggest hits.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, but probably more prominently, you've got It's Too Late.
Yep.
And, you know, It's Too Late in particular has also been prominent cover fodder. Like, I think Gloria Estefan had a cover of this song that did pretty well in the mid-90s, just as an example. It's one of those, it's from that high-budget album rock era.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's been around with me for most of my life.
This is absolutely not an album I would, like, this was so far away
from
what I was thinking we were going to be going into. Like, I never would have expected, you know, oh, the singer-songwriter album from Garden!
Yep. It sneaks its way in. Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska was also in the
running. Oh, that's another
That's a really good one. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's great. But I thought, you know what? We're gonna give Carol the screen time this time around.
I like
what
it.
I think Psychic Heist already said he's not super familiar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Molly, what's your familiarity with one of the best-selling albums of all time?
It was literally in my dad's LP collection when I inherited it from him. So I know this record. I grew up with this record. It's just part of the soundtrack to me growing up. My dad was always kind of skewed more toward like country music, but he definitely had things that were more kind of like in line with this and he liked CCR and stuff too. But like, I remember this one kind of just always being like that's a bit of an odd pull for you, Dad. You know, doesn't expect that. But yeah, like he had an LP of this. I've still got it. It's in storage. It's one of those things. Yeah. One of those albums. Like, I don't know that it's an album that I appreciated the same way that I do now. You know, like I knew the songs obviously growing up, you know, and it's just like, oh, these are very popular songs and they're very catchy. I get it. But I don't think that I really gained the appreciation for the album until years and years later when I started kind of getting more into more singer-songwritery type of material and that was maybe cut with a little more of a pop edge. And so, yeah, that's kind of my, that's my rich history with it. It's just very basically similar to yours, I imagine.
Yeah, it's the shit your parents had spinning in the background.
Yeah. Like, I definitely heard this once or twice, definitely threw it on myself once or twice before really understanding its prominence. And then, you know, 1999, 2000, you know, years and years later, when you're digging through your dad's LP collection, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I know these songs and this. What? You have this?
And I think PH was about to say something there.
Oh, I was just commenting. That's a nice memory to have. But yeah, if you're asking me what I'm like, what do I expect or what do I know? Like, you know, I'm familiar with the name. I know that they're a pretty big songwriter from the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. I have not listened to this album. Like, though, I know I'm looking at some of these songs. I'm like, okay, I know some of these songs for sure. And I also want to point out that this album is on Apple's 100 best albums list. So,
it is. That's list.
A whole other podcast.
Oh my god,
which if you don't know is the list of the year for getting a reaction out of you.
Yeah, that is all those lists are for anymore. Is man, they know they can get some engagement bait if they like take. They take this album and then they put fucking I don't know.
Gosh, there was like,
oh, there were so many just egregious things where you would see an album and go, yeah, that's a good, and then you would see what they put above it and you'd be like, oh god, eat my whole asshole.
Drake, yeah. One spot higher than Paul's Boutique.
I'm out. No, I can't, dude. I fucking can't. Are you serious?
I feel like I just derailed our conversation. Sorry.
No, my Bloody Valentine. No Stooges. No Ramones. No Stooges. No Dinosaur Jr. No Pavement.
God.
No James Brown. Now, perhaps James Brown was more of a singles guy than an album guy, but seriously, it's James.
Yeah, it's James fucking Brown, dude.
You couldn't have picked one just for, you know, a consolation prize.
Yeah. This is 100 greatest albums. I am sure that if you listen to any James Brown album, you are going to find a few nuggets at least. I think that's guaranteed.
Anyway.
So I'm really excited about this pick because this not only is this very left field, wouldn't have thought like an album from the 70s would have been a choice. I also know it's like an important pick for my musical education that
I
have a bit of, you know, it's kind of a, I guess, a black spot that I can now, you know, or a hole that I can fill in, right?
Mm-hmm. So, we're filling in something you overlooked.
Yes.
You're going to have to come up with something different when that's our theme.
Yeah, like, cycle. That is absolutely going to be the, I mean, not to spoil it, but the, a theme, maybe you just heard a, another theme.
We talked about that last time. That's not a spoiler.
I don't even remember.
I don't either.
I have a bear trap memory for some things and a goldfish memory for others.
But yeah, I think this is really, really cool. So,
you're going to understand my high standards for subjecting myself to this kind of music.
Yeah, I think that this explains it. Like, I hadn't kind of put that together yet, but now it's just like, oh, you know, if this is your standard for singer songwriter pop music, no fucking wonder.
Yes. For sure.
Yeah.
Because Mandy Moore does not even compete. She does not even show up to this challenge. She stays at home.
No, and Mandy Moore, I mean, hey, she was promising in the qualifiers, but other people just kind of showed up and showed out. We're talking about podium level singer songwriter.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
For sure.
Although, as another country music album I almost considered, but I disqualified because it's a live album, was Live at Folsom Prison.
Such a good album.
Oh, man,
by the way, if y'all haven't actually listened to Live at Folsom Prison, go listen to it.
I would also recommend Live at San Quentin. I think I prefer that one a little bit more.
There is some stern debate on that topic, which is almost a topic for its own podcast.
Yeah, that's, man, yeah, that would just...
They're both great. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
It's Johnny fucking Cash. You can't go wrong.
Yeah,
my first concert was Johnny Cash.
Oh, so good.
Yep.
Fuck, my first concert was the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Damn.
I feel like it was pretty fun. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah.
I'll totally go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
I would. You know what? If you like Christmas music, I would highly recommend.
Yeah.
My first concert without my parents was Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Oh, nice. 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 Alrighty. Well,
I'm stoked. I'm stoked.
Are you hype yet?
I am. I'm very hype.
Yeah, this is definitely. Yeah, I think this is going to be a very exciting one for PH. Now I'm just like going into the next one's like, now I'm just in anticipation of PH's reactions, because I think that like this being an all timer is just like, that's fine. You sometimes you just want to talk about good albums like that. Yeah.
We have one person who's going in mostly cold. This will be very fun.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yes. That's always fun. Yep.
We'll get to introduce one of the best albums ever recorded to a newbie.
yeah, that's just couldn't ask for a better pick on that one. Shit.
Yeah.
I got to go back to the drawing board. Pick up.
What a treat.
Now I got to go back to the drawing board and step up my game. It's like, oh Jesus, how am I competing with that?
Because I mean, obviously, like, it even kind of connects to the Mandy Moore album.
It does, yeah.
Because she's, you know, she was drawing from that era.
Absolutely,
So, of course, like, hearing, like, the original source is, like, just going to make more appreciation, you know, for that. So, yeah, this is cool. This is really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Any final thoughts then?
Carole King has been married a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carole King has wrote or co-wrote 118 pop hits on the Billboard 100.
That is a very large number. So
many. People just have the touch, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, some true. People just, you can't fucking lose. Well, any other thoughts?
I'm excited.
All right. What about?
Looking forward to this one.
I said,
I struggled with this.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Like, and you picked a good one because, again, it's a surprise because this is not something I would have ever pegged for you. and I wouldn't have imagined that PH wouldn't have heard this before. It just kind of struck me as a, I don't know, one of those. It's a ubiquitous album, so I just kind of was thinking, Anyway, this is going to be a fun one. Just even if it's mostly celebratory and it's just us sitting here gushing over it for an hour and a half, I think that's fine too, because it's one of the best. It's one of the greatest albums ever recorded for a reason.
Sometimes even the teeming masses can be horribly, horribly right.
Absolutely.
It happens.
So, I guess that is our homework, and that can be your homework as well if you would like to join us in listening to Tapestry from Carole King. And we will convene, when we can. We're all kind of busy, and these things kind of just have to happen when they can.
Well, I don't anticipate any more relatives dropping dead in the next few months.
I would hope not. With that said, Garden, do you got anything you want to plug?
Well, I'm always at soundcloud.com/Western Desolation, or find me in the Discord. I'm going to log off and go back to working on a song.
And nice. PH!
I'm on the old Discord.
All right. And I'm on the Discord as well as twitch.tv/polyplushie, as well as socksmakepeoplesexy.net, where you can keep up with all of our shenanigans. So until the next time we're together, listen to more Death Grips.
Or Lip Critic.
That's absolutely a very, very good substitute.